Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's me, Coach Jessica. Joining me today, I am a licensed clinical professional counselor currently in private practice in the state of Maryland, and my show is dedicated to giving the community a sound and sensible way of thinking about things that happen in everyday life. So please call in with your questions and your comments in regards to today's topic. Before we get started, I want to thank Hampton Blue for inviting me to have my very own show on her channel. I can't thank you enough for thinking about me and helping me to expand on what I am trying to become here. As a reminder, I am here to help and not hurt. That's number one. Number two, if what I say does not make sense to you, then I am likely not talking to you. And number three, expounding on that, everything that I say should serve as confirmation to what has in your spirit. That means that there is no new information here. Everything that you hear should make sense to what's already happening on the inside of you. Really quickly, I didn't give anybody the call-in number last week, and I was wondering, why didn't anybody call me? But it's because I didn't give you call-in number. So I want everybody to get out your pen and your paper really quickly. The number that I want you to call so that we can converse is 646-716-8544. And today we will be discussing a very hot-button topic, and that is the recent verdict for George Zimmerman in the case of Trayvon Martin's killing. If you've been living under a rock, let me just give you a very quick synopsis of what happened. I'm sure all of you are familiar, but there may be one or two who are not. So a young man who was 17 years old, Trayvon Martin, an African-American youth, was visiting his father in Sanford, Florida, decided to go to the store for something small. On his way back home, he was racially profiled by George Zimmerman, followed and confronted. When he was confronted, a fight ensued, and he ultimately lost his life. George Zimmerman was armed. Trayvon Martin was not. George Zimmerman was not asked to go to trial or required to go to trial until I believe it was 46 or 47 days later, and that was brought on by massive protests across the country. And finally, the case came to a conclusion last week, and George Zimmerman was given the verdict of not guilty of both manslaughter and murder too. So there in the public, there has been an outcry from not just black people, but I think across the board, many of us stand in solidarity that this, while it might have been fair legally because of how the law is written and what the law states, it is morally wrong that a child was able to walk down the street and be killed for doing absolutely nothing. So today I wanted to focus on how we deal with this situation in regards to our children. In my house, we followed this trial from the beginning to the end. We followed the happenings when Trayvon was initially killed and how George Zimmerman was brought to justice ultimately. And as a result, my children, I have three of them. One is six, two girls, and one boy. The girls are 6 and 4, and the boy, my son, is 3 months. And so my eldest daughter has really been privy to how we feel in this home in regards to the verdict. And actually, this whole show topic came about from a conversation that I had with my eldest daughter. She came to me after the verdict had come out, it was maybe the next day, and she just kind of started talking about what she had heard. So I wanted to give all of the parents out there pointers on what to do with your children who are both elementary age, younger children, and also adolescents that are trying to process what happened, thinking about how the implications and what that means for them in their lives, especially African-American children. But I also want to touch on parents of white children, white parents, because I think that we close the discussion too quickly when we come to issues that are polarizing in our country. Things happen that are a major deal, and everybody just kind of goes into their respective corners. Black people over there, white people over there, Hispanic people somewhere in the middle, Asians, everybody gets in where they fit in, but no one is talking to each other. We come back out, and then we ignore the problem, and it continues to persist, get worse, and exist. And so my purpose for today is really to expand and broaden this conversation in my own little way. This is my way of helping this poor family that has lost their loved one. You know, the first thing that I thought about when I heard the verdict was, okay, well, who's organizing the march? You know, you just want to do something to be a part, to change history. And this is my own little way of doing that. So there's been a lot of talk in the media about this verdict and what it means for black boys in particular. And unfortunately, this is a reality that many of our youth have to face on a daily basis. And so the issue is not just about Trayvon, and the issue is not just about George Zimmerman and the verdict that he actually got, but as a whole, we as a society need to look at the system and what it does to and for the people who it's supposed to serve. But in your home, what you say to your children about how society views them is of the utmost importance, because ultimately your job as a parent is to raise them so that they can exist without you. So that means not only do they need to know how to do their laundry, but they need to know how to act when there are eyes who are untrusting or distrustful of them, on them. We want to watch what we say around our children. You have to be so, so careful about the emotion that is felt surrounding especially racially charged issues. The main points that I want to get across about communicating with elementary school age children is really to listen first. Let me go backwards. With my 6-year-old, she came to me and she just really started talking about what she had heard or what she had deduced from the conversations that were going on in my home and in the home of her grandparents or just places that she's been. And for the most part, she had it together. But I wanted to make sure that I stepped away from the conversation on the front end, because I didn't want to put on or place on her anything that she didn't already have or take away from her something that she should have had. So I let her talk. She gave me her spiel, and in the end, I was able to figure out really how she learns. And this is also good because you can really get a good idea of how much your child actually listens to you in your home and how they take it to heart. You want to fill in the blanks and correct any misinformation. There were a few things that she got wrong in the story. she said to me that, you know, Trayvon was not doing anything wrong, but that he had the gun. So I had to correct her and say, no, you're absolutely right. Trayvon was minding his business, and he was going to the store, and he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing at the time. He was in the place where he was supposed to be at the time, but he did not have the gun. George Zimmerman had the gun, and George Zimmerman shot him. And you want to, number three, focus on the facts. You don't need to go into detail about the Stand Your Ground law and racial profiling with a six-year-old. They are not going to understand that concept, even if you break it all the way down to the ground, number one. And number two, it is not age appropriate. All things that happen in the world should be discussed with your children in an age-appropriate way. That's sex, that's relationships, that's anything under the sun should be discussed with kids even as young as three. As long as they can talk, they should be discussed. However, you need to make sure that it's in a way that is appropriate for them and that they totally understand what is going on. So be mindful of the facts and stick to them. Keep your emotions out of it because your kids are really in tune to you and how you think and what you believe, and they will turn around and take those feelings on. So if you stick to the facts, you allow them to be able to critically think about what's happening, and then, you know, a conversation can take place between you and them, and they can tell you how they feel about it, and you can then encourage them to continue that. Be mindful of your language when discussing the situation with other adults. What you don't want is for your child to be out in the street saying racially charged words, using innuendos that are totally inappropriate, because it is clearly is going to be a direct reflection of you and your home and what you're teaching. And not just that, because this issue is not just about Trayvon and about George Zimmerman, it's a broader issue. So if you're saying that things are unfair and you're trying to talk about how people do not tolerate black people, then you want to make sure that you're teaching tolerance in your home. So watch the language, watch the words, stick to facts, fill in blanks, and make sure your information is correct and that they can understand exactly what you're saying. As far as adolescents are concerned, I say the rules are the same, but you just kind of take it to the next level, because adolescents are at a place now where they are required to critically think. Telling them to do something because I said so, it no longer works, or usually it's not as appropriate anymore, because we want them to understand why things are working and how they're working. So just as with your elementary age children, you do want to listen first. You want to hear how they took this information in, because you have to remember that they're not only kind of getting sound bites while walking past the TV while you're watching the news, but they're also Twittering with their friends, they're going to school, they're hearing about this thing, but they're getting bits and pieces, and they're not necessarily understanding the situation from the top to the bottom and what actually happened. So you have to make sure that after you hear how they took in the information, you clarified so well with them, and then you do want to discuss the emotional implications of those things, where you'll leave that out with the younger ones because they're not necessarily emotionally astute to stand up and receive that information. The older ones can do that, and you should do that. You don't want your children walking around feeling angry towards white people or the system or the man. You want them to be empowered to change how things are. So the only way you're going to get there is by actually having a real-life conversation about it. Make sure you focus on the facts and allow them to understand the situation as it actually happened. And you might even want to invite some of their friends over to make sure that all of the ones, you know, if they have a little clique or a little group, make sure that all of them are on the same page, because when kids get together, sometimes foolishness ensues, and they are on all types of different pages. Okay? To my parents that are white, I really want you to understand that I know that when I turn on CNN, when I turn on MSNBC, when I turn on, you know, any news channel and I see marches and protests, it's people that look like you that are standing right beside people that look like me. And so I think this is such a great opportunity for you, you know, because it would be easy for you to turn the television off and say, well, you know, I hope they get that settled. You know, that really is terrible for that child and that family. And even if you feel like that's terrible for that community. But if you look at it, if you take four or five steps back from the picture and look at the broad view, you actually could make a huge impact just by talking to your children about what happened and schooling them or educating them on the things that they don't have to experience because they are white, the things that their black friends may have to go through that they do not. Because the only way that we're going to get someplace else on this topic of race is by dealing with it through our children. All of us are getting older, and most of us are set in our ways. That's not to say that we can't change, we can't adapt different ideas and grow and do better. But things will get better if we deal with our children. I have a caller. Caller number 646. Can I help you?
Hi, Coach Jessica. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thanks for calling. How can I help?
No problem. I just wanted to weigh in on this subject very quickly. I'm at work, but I haven't had a chance to listen to the show in full, but I know that you were going to discuss this tonight, and I just wanted to, you know, mention a couple of comments.
Please.
About speaking to kids about, you know, the Trayvon Martin issue and being black young males in America. And I think the most important thing that we have to teach our young men is that it's not them. It's the person who has the prejudice. They're the ones that have the problem. And, you know, if we think about racism and what it's about, it's basically trying to say to these young black men that they're less than human, less valuable, less worthy. It's, you know, basically a prejudgment based on fear or threat of that person who holds that judgment. So I just want to say I think it's important that we as parents reinforce that with our young black males and even with our daughters, that, you know, it's not them, that they're worthy, that, you know, they're valued in society, that we love them, that they're smart, intelligent human beings, and, you know, as society as a whole, that, you know, we support them, and we know that, you know, what they need to do in these situations is just think smart. It's not about winning. It's not about getting the upper hand in these type of situations. Because
right.
Their mission at the end of the day is to survive. And they need to do whatever they can do in order to survive. So that's all.
You know what?
I
100% agree with you. 100%. And, you know, I think there was, before the Trayvon Martin case, there was already a conversation that was happening in black households across the country on how to behave when you see law enforcement. You know, you be quiet, you put your hands on the steering wheel, you look them in the eye, you say yes, sir, you say no, sir, you better not argue, you close your mouth and pray that everything turns out right. And that's law enforcement. But I think what came out of the verdict was the feeling that not only do we have to concern ourselves with the people who are supposed to protect us, but now we have to be concerned about the man on the street that we don't even know, because apparently he has rights that I do not have. And so absolutely, caller, I am with you 100%. This is about the value that is placed on the black life versus that of other races. But, again, I want us to really focus on empowering our kids. Thank you for calling, caller.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. I really want us to focus on empowering our children to not only know what's going on, not only know how to work, because our kids are really savvy. They know how to work stuff. They know how to change the tone when somebody's in the room and when somebody isn't. It's just a part of living when you are of color. So let's move on. I'm going to come back to this subject in a few minutes, but I do want to talk a little bit about the working atmosphere. So you go to work every day, you spend all of your hours there. They're basically, your coworkers are basically like family because most of your day is spent with these people. They know your husbands, your wives, your kids. You go to holiday parties. You divulge and disclose intimate information. You just really are close to each other, and you think that you know these people until the ball drops. And something like this happens. This polarizing event happens, and people kind of go into their respective corners, and you may be shocked by the person that's next to you who, in the cubicle right across from you, who you swore every day you went to Chipotle with, and you knew that person. But then the verdict comes out, and suddenly you're very disappointed by some of the views that they may have. Well, I wanted to give you a little bit of advice because I remember being on Facebook when the verdict came out, and a lot of the conversation that I was seeing was about, okay, Lord, what is Monday morning going to look like? You know, eye rolling and everything else. And a lot of people that I know were really concerned about how they were going to approach this topic with people who they either knew was going to have something crazy to say or they didn't necessarily know what the reaction was going to be from other people. So I guess the first thing that I really want to drive home to you is that you should not take what other people say personally. Just like the last caller just said, the issue, usually when someone is talking to you or when it, whatever we say out of our mouths is not necessarily for someone else. It usually is actually for ourselves. So whatever I'm saying to you is telling about who I am, how I feel, my set of beliefs, and all of the above. So you should not necessarily take personally what I'm saying, even though I'm talking directly to you. Now, I know that when you consider yourself friends with this person, it feels a little bit more strange because you don't know what to do with that. But you have to remember that not everybody is going to understand your experience, whether you're black, white, whatever. People aren't necessarily going to understand your experience, so they're not going to be able to speak from that vantage point. I want you to go into the conversation with a different perspective, okay? Your goal, check your motive. Your goal is not to change the perspective of the person who you're talking to, but instead it is to broaden it. What am I saying? I'm saying that while George Zimmerman may or may not have been a racist prior to ever meeting Trayvon Martin, but clearly he had preconceived notions about black people that looked like Trayvon Martin, okay? What did he think about what he was capable of or what he was getting ready to do in that neighborhood? Well, it was evident what he thought. But instead of assuming that he would have to have the idea that all black people are great and none of them are, you know, robbers or whatever, if we just broaden the perspective to think that it's possible that you could look like Trayvon and not really be up to anything at all. So we're not focused so much on flipping the entire script, because this is years of doing. We got here because of years of work, negative work. And we're not going to leave here by just one conversation and the other person saying, oh, okay, well, that's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I'm leaving my ship and I'm jumping on yours. But if you just leave that space for them to hear what you're saying and expand on what they already know, you may not be able to get rid of all the preconceived notions, but to add some positive ones. Who knows what the outcome would have been if George Zimmerman thought that Trayvon Martin might have looked suspicious just because he was wearing a hoodie and he had never seen him before. But beyond that, it's possible that Trayvon is just somebody I've never seen before, so I'm going to let him keep on walking because I don't know him doesn't mean he's up to no good. Number three, don't talk to ignorant people. Keep the ignorance contained, because you'll find that when you talk to folks that are ignorant, it gets louder, it gets bigger, and it gets worse, and nothing gets solved. So if you know that a viewpoint of somebody in your office is ridiculous, do not engage this person. They may try to engage you because they know that you have an opposing view and they want a fight. They want to get their point across. They just want whatever they want. But don't engage that person, because what we're seeking to do is advance the conversation. And discussing it with somebody who has absolutely no plans to enlighten themselves on anything other than what they already think is pointless. You're going to waste your breath, so don't do it. And you're also in the workplace, so you need to really be careful, because some bosses may think that it's totally inappropriate to discuss such a racially charged issue in the office, and Lord knows you do not want to get pulled up by your boss because you're talking about stuff you don't need to talk about. But with the ignorant person, you just keep it to work. You send that email, you walk over to the cubicle, hand them their little paper, and you let it be about work, and that's it. But if you happen to get in a conversation with somebody who, you know, is ignorant, but in the positive sense of the word, they just don't know and they don't know that they know, then you may want to take the route of explaining a scenario, but using their mother as Trayvon Martin. Tell the story again, but with Trayvon being their mother. Then re-ask the question, should this man that killed your mother walk free? If so, why? And if not, why not? There has not been enough discussion about what it means to be racially profiled. And it is a reality. And because it wasn't discussed and because it wasn't admissible in court, the trial took place out of had taken place out of context, and so this is the verdict that was handed down, because they were not discussing what ultimately was the starting point of the fiasco, or of the killing, I should say. So if you present this scenario to someone in the correct context, then they may be able to see it from a different vantage point. And again, your goal is not to make people jump their ship and get on yours, but moreover, it's for them to expand what they already know and consider, just think, critically think about something else that could be happening other than what they already believe. Okay, I am going to take this time to point you to my YouTube channel. That is at Advice Coach Jessica is my name on YouTube. Please follow me on Twitter at Advice Coach Jess, J-E-S-S. Also, if you have questions that you would like me to answer either on my YouTube channel, which is basically the visible version of this show, please send those questions to advicecoachjessica@gmail.com. You can also send questions or show topics for this show and for the other at that email as well. I really appreciate your support. Please let your friends know about this show. I'm here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. I'm so looking forward to continuing our conversation. Next week, we will be talking about love, so get ready for that. If you're looking for it, if you have it, we're talking about boundaries and love. So look for that show next week. Thank you for joining me. I love you to death. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.